Welcome to EA Truth Radio, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com. I am your host, Dan Hennen. Today is July 26th, 2020, and our show will be about current events. In particular, the last week's news events summarized without the fake news. Because this is a faith-based program, we'll start off the episode with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly come before your throne and ask that you bless the airwaves and this show. Scramble all devices of the enemy and allow this show to go forth and reach thousands, even millions, if you will, Lord. May thy will be done, and we're grateful for this show and our audience. Please be with each and every one of them in their homes while they tune into our shows. Bless each and every one of them. In Jesus' living, powerful, active, and matchless name, amen. The founder and publisher of Eternal Affairs Media, Curtis R. Bazzelli, is a loyal member of Patriot Mobile and encourages you to mention his name. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative mobile phone carrier that will meet all your calling, texting, and data needs. You can get up to $600 off your bill annually when you refer friends to Patriot Mobile. Join us and fight for your conservative values with each call you make on their nationwide cell phone network. Remember to mention Curtis R. Bazzelli when you sign up for service. Well, today's show is interesting. We've got a lot to cover from this past week. Once again, lots of activity. Let's start off. July 23rd this week, San Diego County Sheriff's Department, an officer was arrested on multiple child molestation charges. And so this doesn't really make the big news, but it's noteworthy nonetheless. QAnon and President Trump are trying to drain the swamp, clean the swamp, and get rid of the good versus evil. Not a Democrat, not a Republican thing, but it's good versus evil. And so it's things like this that we see that are cleaning up. A sheriff deputy with child molestation charges, that is not good. That should be huge news. Speaking of news for law enforcement, Police Officers Association of Michigan have endorsed Donald Trump for president. Donald Trump for president. Very interesting because of the trouble they're going through in Michigan right now with all the Democratic leaders and all of the corruption with the deep state and whatnot. The Police Officers Association endorses President Trump. This is huge. This is good news. And this is a very powerful statement that's being, message that's being sent. This was, if you look up the news, July 24th. Washington Post lawsuit was solved this week. Nick Sandman filed a $250 million lawsuit. Remember, he was the student from Covington, Kentucky that drew all the flack at that protest rally. The Washington Post went ahead and then defamed him. He was able to then file the defamation lawsuit. They settled out of court. I'm not sure what the total amount was. It was not the $250 million. That's what he sued for, but he won. And believe me, he won a lot of money. Washington Post should be embarrassed by their behavior. But then again, Washington Post has been owned, operated, Operation Project Mockingbird for years and years and years. That is corruption right there for you. As far as propaganda, Washington Post, they lose that lawsuit and will pay big time. Ghislaine Maxwell said there's explosive documents that she has and that she prefers to keep secret. Sounds like it's a total of about 80 that she wanted to keep secret, some explosive documents. Now, who knows if this is just truth, reality, or some narrative being spun here. But regardless of that, July 23rd, the judge ruled that he will make them public. This will be very interesting to follow here in a couple of weeks, in the coming weeks, this whole Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein situation scenario. She is held in that Brooklyn, or is it Manhattan, detention facility right now. I'm not sure which one, but they're going to release and make public those explosive documents. This will be very interesting. President Trump this week pulled the plug on the GOP convention in Florida that's going to take place. Because of the outbreak and everything in Florida, and I think that had something to do with the deep state, knowing that the GOP convention, the Republican convention, will be held there. That's why they've been pushing the numbers, I believe, in Florida so high to result in this huge surge, resulting in him having to pull the plug on this convention. So there's a chess match going on here. Lots of things going on behind the scenes, not just what's in the news. It's what's going on. What forced his hand to do this was those numbers in Florida. Well, what caused the numbers in Florida? Fake news, fake reports, of course, inflated numbers. More than likely, wherever Trump goes in public, he has huge success. Any type of rally, any type of convention. And so what the Democrats do not have is a guy like that. They've got Biden right now, who does not do well in debates, does not do well in public, and does not do well with attendance at rallies. So the only way to offset that, to make Biden appear better and to make Trump appear weaker, is to start pulling some of these political dirty tricks, these shenanigans. For instance, the Florida state surge for COVID. Now we get the Isaiah Jackson photo this week, kneeling on the neck of the white little baby girl. This has been floating around on the internet. It was captured with the black man, Isaiah Jackson, kneeling on the neck of a white girl saying Black Lives Matter now. Well, that of course went viral and did not end too well, as they were searching for him, found him now, and has been arrested. This guy was putting the knee on the neck in a video, a homemade video. And there's no way that could have been taken as just something for fun, as a joke, as a practical joke. He was kneeling on her neck. So that was this week. Also this week, a new hit piece done on QAnon. BBC released an article on July 23rd slamming and discrediting the QAnon movement. Once again, we know the QAnon movement is true and real. This is not something we're trying to sell people to hopefully make them believe it. It's been proven time and time again, over 24 proofs in the last couple of years alone that proved this. More recently, the General Flynn and the scenarios of his tweets and things like that. Now, the mainstream media, of course, is going to come out with some slanted version of what QAnon is, which isn't true, and they're going to push that. The unsuspecting public will only hear that side of it and say, well, who would follow this? What type of people are these that follow this nasty stuff? It doesn't even make sense. It sounds like a conspiracy theorist. The same thing was done with Pizzagate. When Pizzagate first came out, it grew larger and larger. The investigators did their work and came up with the hot button items and then created that hashtag to create as a movement to bring exposure to this, to the crimes taking place in Pizzagate. What resulted was the mainstream media putting a different slant on it, saying it was some sort of a cult run by Hillary Clinton in some basement of a pizza joint. That's got some truths mixed in with some misinformation mixed in, but that's done on purpose for the unsuspecting public to read a story in the BBC or the Washington Post or the New York Times or CNN. They're going to read that story and say, why would a guy go into a pizza shop, Comet Ping Pong, with a shotgun, demanding answers and firing shots off, and he was later arrested. That individual who went in there is not a Pizzagate follower. That was a setup situation. That shot that he fired on the counter, or at the counter of the front desk there at the Comet Ping Pong, was directly in front of where that desktop server is held underneath the counter behind there. which holds the hard drive. Well, the shot that was fired went behind the counter, coincidentally, where the computer was held, and wrecked the hard drive. This was an operation that was planned to do just that: take out the hard drive, wreck the computer, and discredit the Pizzagate movement all in one fell swoop. That's how these operations work. That's how you can tell it's a fake, things like that. So they're going after QAnon here recently. Now, back on July 21st, what we got, the first word of this GOP in Florida that it wasn't going to happen, is that the Florida sheriff in that area was gearing up for that GOP convention, but said, this was back 2 days before they canceled it, he said in the paper, it made the news, it says, we can't pull it off. We're not going to be able to handle this with security. And so that's the other thing that helps the decisions being made, is when you have a little seed planted like that from someone high up in law enforcement, in this case, a sheriff in the area, said, we're not going to be able to pull off this GOP convention. It's just not going to happen. And so they plant the seed there. The average person reading this article will say, yeah, I can believe that, and I can understand that with all the COVID, the outbreak, that more likely is not going to happen. So it's gradualization. It gets you to that next level in your head, in your brain, to think, you know what, it wouldn't be shocking if that didn't happen. So once again, things like that, that's how they pull those strings. That's how the operation works, with the help of the media. Now, a teacher in Michigan this last week, also a varsity baseball coach for a high school in Michigan, tweeted out, Trump is our president. This was July 21st. Trump is our president. That's a fact. Well, they forced him to the sidelines and bullied him out and then fired him for making that quote. And he is, like I said, a teacher in Michigan, varsity baseball coach, simply made a quote of a true factual statement and was enough to be censored and fired for simply stating Trump is our president. He wasn't showing support. He wasn't saying what side of the aisle he was on. He just made a common thing. But the censoring that's going on here, and what we're seeing here from the media and from the public in general, is that they will stop at no lengths to eliminate the free speech. Now, on July 21st, an interesting thing came out. Now, those who follow the news, we don't follow the mainstream news, but the lesser of two evils, Fox is pretty good. I'm still not a big follower of Fox or anybody, because they also have good and bad guys in their network. But the only two guys that are good are Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. So just this week, sexual misconduct charges are filed against Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity on July 21st. Nobody else, only those two. So once again, we get the political dirty tricks and the shenanigans that are going on that are so blatant. Now, the general public may believe these stories, and unsuspecting citizens may believe these stories, but when you take a step back and look at the much bigger picture, how on earth could there be sexual misconduct charges filed against only these two people for Fox? So right then and there, it's going more discredit, the discrediting the good guys, making them look like criminals. What we see nonstop parroted by the media is Donald Trump is a criminal. He's a bad guy, orange man bad. Now, we know that's not true. We know that's not the case. There are no charges. He is not a criminal, and he did nothing wrong. But yet we keep getting this shoved down our throats to the media. And then when I see folks, the general public on social media, who are now pushing this angle and have been for months, Trump is a criminal. Trump's a bad guy. Trump's a racist, a rapist. Trump's a racist, and Trump's a pedophile. I'm starting to see this, and it starts to make you wonder if people posting this stuff is actually starting to believe it. So the propaganda is strong. Propaganda is powerful, and brainwashing is powerful. They keep repeating these things and the gullible public believe it. So this week, they did the attack on Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. My only reaction to that when I saw that in the news was, come on, man. The old Monday Night Football segment. Come on, man. Now, in Minneapolis, the pawn shop that was burned down, we're going through the cleanup of the wreckage of the pawn shop in Minneapolis. And on July 21st, found a burned body inside. So now we've got a death. Now we've got a death from the peaceful riots and the peaceful protests, and the city gets burned all because of the George Floyd case, which we still don't know if it's a true thing or a hoax, or if it really was him. Who were the actors? What took place? Did he really die? Was that even him? And who of all things was his photoed in that mugshot for Officer Derek Chauvin? Certainly did not look like the man holding the knee on the neck. But all that's down the memory hole now, because now we're getting the protest and the violence. So the fires that broke out there initially that very first weekend that all that took place, a pawn shop burned down. Now they're cleaning it up, and guess what they find? A burned body of someone inside. Well, you're not going to hear anything about the murder investigation, the homicide investigation. Who was behind it? Who did it? Who are the suspects? And who is this person? I would think that'd be very important news to be on the newscast and in the newspapers. Well, I'm reporting from Minnesota. I haven't heard anything about this. So that's why shows like this are important. Things to follow, things to be aware of, and notes, things to take note of that you're not going to see in the mainstream news. Now this week, QAnon. QAnon had some related accounts pulled down by Twitter. 7,000 accounts were pulled, and 150,000 more accounts were restricted that were related to pushing QAnon. Now, once again, if people like QAnon or not, or believe in it or not, or think it's a wild conspiracy or not, why is Twitter, management of Twitter, removing and deleting accounts associated with QAnon? Where are they getting their marching orders from? This is not a normal course of business for this type of business to be censoring things. But they've been doing this for a while. We all know the censoring is there. But you've got to look back at the top. Who is calling the shots? Who's pulling the puppet strings here? Why is QAnon the bad guy? Jack Dorsey is behind it. Now, some think, when these accounts are pulled down here on July 22nd, some think that maybe it's a way of opening the door to get rid of the QAnon items and the people posting QAnon and pushing the theories. And sometimes it may get down the road to even people retweeting QAnon-related tweets. Some have thought that perhaps it's a way to be able to pull down President Trump's Twitter feed because he has been retweeting posts that involve QAnon. Now, that's not a very far reach right there. That may be the truth. And once again, we get into the gradualization. You start pecking away at smaller things to get to the big means to the end. And these small things upset people at first, but it's meant to get to the bigger things. Down the road, it's going to be people that push QAnon. Then it's going to be down the road farther, people that retweet QAnon-related things. And so they're looking to start tagging people who is connected to this and shutting them all down. Now, we all know President Trump's number one voice on social media or media anywhere whatsoever is his Twitter account. That's the one thing that the Democrats or the Dems or the deep state or the left need to take down. There's no way they're going to be able to do it, but that is their plan, is to pull him off of social media. That's the only way unfiltered truth is coming out. And so this leads back also to why Donald Trump way back a couple of years ago set up that EAS on cell phones to do the testing for the emergency alert system. He knows, along with his staff, along with the QAnon group, that the Twitter and social media will be shut down. President Trump needs a plan of action in place as a backup. So when that does happen, he's prepared. Now, the U.S. orders China to shut down its Houston consulate in Houston, Texas, July 23rd. It looks like they said, we're going to give you 72 hours to shut down. And so China's got a consulate there in Houston, and we've got issues there with that. Now, the interesting thing on July 24th is Donald Trump came out publicly accusing Biden and Obama of treason. So we've had this mentioned or alluded to in the past that this might be the case, or it could be the case. But what we get here this past week is Trump outright calling them out directly that they are accused, and he's accusing them of treason. So now those of us following the QAnon and the movement in the deep state and the draining of the swamp, we know that that is a true statement. They are going after them, but it's coming from the DOJ and the attorneys and the prosecutors. This is not because Trump doesn't like Biden or Trump doesn't like Obama. This has nothing to do with personal feelings. The treason comments are true. The spying did take place on a duly elected president. A coup attempt took place in real time, and we all watched it happen in 2016 and 2017. And once we found out about the FISA surveillance warrants and their subsequent approvals, that all was hidden with Comey and Strzok and Clapper and Brennan and Lisa Page and everything else is all another hoax. A UNC Wilmington professor found dead July 24th. Name is Mike Adams. Now, this is very strange. Healthy man found dead. Keep in mind, this is not the health ranger Mike Adams. A different name, but the same name, different person, Mike Adams. This was a professor at UNC Wilmington. This is a pro-Trump guy. Speaking of pro-Trump, in Milwaukee, you may have heard this story. A pro-Trump black man in Milwaukee found shot to death just a few hours after giving an interview on July 25th. This is the type of things in the news that are not making the mainstream news at all. But what is making the news? Tom Hanks selling hot dogs at the Oakland A's home games. This came out July 24th. Now, there's so many symbolism underlying notes behind this story, it's almost sickening. Hot dogs are, of course, known as little boys in the pedophilia market. Tom Hanks is obviously into that. He was exposed by Isaac Cappy. Isaac Cappy was found dead shortly thereafter in New Mexico. And Hanks now is selling concessions at ball games. Now, they also mention pop, chips, Cracker Jacks at a ball game, but the headline used the phrase hot dogs. Watch for the symbolism. Symbolism will be their downfall. Now, speaking of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, just yesterday announced on Instagram, they are proud citizens of Greece. They are Greek citizens. They became citizens of Greece. So that does not mean that they have moved there and they lived there, but they went and applied for and got citizenship, been granted citizenship in the country of Greece. Now, those of us following the insights of what's really going on here, that's another escape route, another escape reason, plausible deniability once again, if they do get brought up and indicted on charges, is that another step they're going to take to plead that they're not from the U.S. They can have safe haven because they're dual citizens. Kind of like the QAnon post that says, wait till President Obama gets busted and indicted. Look for him to claim Kenyan birth of Kenya, Kenyan citizenship to avoid arrest. This is what comes into my mind when I see things about Tom Hanks and some of these other characters here in this large chess match. Number one, they're always making the news. And number two, they're always doing coded types of messages. Now, speaking of characters, Oprah Winfrey, another one of these, leaves coded messages, much like Ellen DeGeneres. Her magazine, O Magazine, will be shutting down by the end of the year. They've been around for, I think, 20 years. Is that another reason to start packing up the bags here, start shutting down operations in some of the businesses that these folks have, knowing that arrests are coming down the pipe? Who knows? That's speculation, but we can't rule it out. And then an interesting note with Hurricane Hannah, and maybe those in that area could correct me if I'm wrong. So the big news was Hurricane Hannah hit the Corpus Christi South Padre Island the last two days. I think this was Friday and Saturday. Big news, big waves, down to a Category 1, and then it fizzled out into a tropical storm. But if you watch the news from Hawaii, Hurricane Douglas hit. Now, Douglas comes way before Hannah in the alphabet, letter D versus H. They name these hurricanes and these tropical storms in order. So if Hurricane Douglas was already named a hurricane and became a hurricane in the Pacific, how long has that been around? I haven't heard anything about allegedly Douglas, but all we're hearing about is Hannah. Well, there's been a couple of other letters in there. Letters D, E, and F, and G before we get to the letter H. And that is just a basic question. I'm not sure about that, how that goes and how that is come about on. But that's all I've got for today, for today's news, for current events. Remember to check out all of our articles and content at eternalaffairsmedia.com. And if you feel so led to do so, please click the links in the description to support us financially. We are an entirely independent operation, media operation, and end times ministry. We rely on your support to continue providing you excellent content. Go to eternalaffairsmedia.com, bookmark the site, as well as sign up for our email newsletter in case they ever take our social media pages down. Once again, my name is Dan Hennan. Today is July 26th. Thanks for listening.